This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So for Mr. Positivity, I now transform myself in Wonder Twins Activate. I turn myself into Mr. Reality. Not Mr. Negative. Don't misconstrue. Mr. Reality. And the reality of where we are right now and the reality of what we're about to watch over the next, hopefully, at least 10 days or so, is that everything that Leon Rose did was about this moment. Every move that he's made, every button he's pushed, every lever he's grabbed, and every transaction that he's thought about and then eventually followed through on is about beating this team. From a matchup perspective, it's all about the Celtics. And we will know whether or not Leon Rose has built, or maybe bigger picture, is capable of building a championship team. My answer is, at least in terms so far, no. I don't think the Knicks win this series. I don't think it's particularly close, and I hope that I'm wrong. I think the Knicks are going to get knocked around a little bit here, and I think that what's going to happen to, I think, to many of you who aren't sure yet, and I get it, you're not really sure. You're not fully sure. Yeah, the one thing that's very interesting about, like, this window, I think that the window for the Knicks has been greatly extended by a lot of people. This is not some 3 or 4 year window. Again, I'm not trying to be negative, but think about this, guys. If the Knicks don't win this series, and everybody in Vegas is saying they have no chance to win this series. I mean, they're like plus 1,000 to win. I mean, that's nuts. All right. So everybody thinks they're going to get smoked here. And if they do, well, you try to make a tweak next year, but for a lot of reasons, I'll get into that in a minute. I don't know that they can. And then let's say they run it back next year, pretty much the same components. You got Karl Anthony Towns, you got Brunson, you got Bridges, and you have OG Anunoby. Mitch is still here. He's got another year or two to go on his contract, whatever. You know, and maybe some of the ancillary pieces, maybe you shift to McBride somewhere or Achiuwa and you get a sniper, whatever. But the main components will be back. And if they don't win next year, then it's over. I mean, there's no way. Well, you know, 3 years from now, we'll see what they can do. When Karl Anthony Towns is in his early 30s, that's not the way this works. So the moves, and they began, by the way, with Tom Thibodeau's hiring back in July of 2020. And then, of course, they signed Jalen Brunson. And they were kind of, you know, universally ridiculed for that. The amount of money that they gave Jalen turned out to be brilliant, all right? And then they wound up trading Obi Toppin, which right now means not a lot, but he was the first player taken top 10 by Leon Rose. And then they traded R.J. Barrett and Quickly for OG and Precious, we know about. Then they traded Randall and Dante for Cat. Then they traded the 5 first-round picks for Mikal Bridges. Now, understand this, guys, right? So they have no money. They're pretty much capped out. And they've got no real draft equity, which is why I say this is it. This is where we are. And where we are is, I don't think it's going to be remotely good enough. If they were to somehow, you know, shock the South, I know what happened with the Cavs last night. Cavs aren't losing that series. But, like, if they were somehow, if they win this series, I don't necessarily think they win the next series. So, I don't think this is a championship team. And when you get to this point, the contracts, the money, the draft equity, this, that, to me, now the focus is shifting from the coach to the general manager. And the president, whatever the title is, he got a couple of titles. President of Basketball Operations, I believe, is the official title. It's about the big picture. It's about this dream and this roster and this vision that was crafted years ago. Well, and little in every little teeny tiny incremental step was pretty galvanizing. All right, here we go. First, they learn how to compete, and then you get some horses. Now you win some games. Now you're a good seed. Now you get to host some games in the playoffs in terms of being a top four seed. And now you enter this season with legitimate expectations, probably hijacked the entire news cycle this offseason. Once the Knicks got Karl-Anthony Towns, and it was very late, clearly, it was all about the Knicks. Not about the champion Celtics, not about the up-and-coming Thunder, not about the up-and-coming Cavaliers, not about, you know, at that point, LeBron and Anthony Davis out west or Denver, whatever. It was really about the Knicks. It was about the Knicks. And if it's not about the Knicks in 10, 12, 14, 15 days, isn't that the answer that you need? It's the answer that I need. Unfortunately, I feel like I already have the answer. And I hope that I'm wrong. And I'm not going to be negative through this thing. I'm not. I'm going to be honest. And I'm going to be raw. And if Karl-Anthony Towns, if Cat too often plays like a mouse, which he has, he's going to hear it. I mean, if Tom Thibodeau forgets about a hot player or whatever, they still can't defend the three, he's going to hear it. If Mikal Bridges disappears for, you know, chunks of big moments in big games, he's going to get crushed. But it's not about crushing people. It's not about, like, lambasting people on the radio. It's about understanding where we are. And every move that's been made has been made for this moment. Do you think they're ready for the moment? Do you think they are? Because there's no more big moves to be made. 888-808-1019. It's BT and Sal here on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. All right, we're inside of our Town Fair Tire Studio. Friends of Town Fair remind you that you always get the lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. Not a great baseball weekend. We'll do that later. But right now, we're talking Knicks. Mark's in Brooklyn, BT and Sal. What's up, Mark?
Leading us off, BT, I thought Omar might do it today, but I'll take it. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good. I think Omar is either after big wins or excruciating meltdowns, so he can really be Omar. You know what I mean?
Both of Omar's still relaxing from Sunday. You got to give it to him.
Uh-huh.
BT, I'm excited. I agree with you. There's a lot of honesty to be made, and I'm with you with Thibodeau. But I want to break this down with you. There's few people, if anybody, who I respect their basketball, but especially Nick's opinion more than you. You laid out a lot of ifs before, BT. But let's look at it the other way. If the Knicks win, what has to happen in your opinion? For me, first of all, it starts with the consistency.
I can't have the conversation. That's not a good sign, Dove. It's a very ominous sign. Here we are, ready to talk shop. Knicks, Thibs, Cat, Brunson. Man, are we going to get those phone lines corrected, which we certainly will. Yeah, listen, I understand. It's a very interesting point here in Knicks history because this century's been so empty that the easiest thing for most people to do is to just appreciate where they are. And I get that. There's an element of that I certainly do understand. But I'm past that. I'm past that. You know, it's no longer the little scrappy engine that could. It's no longer Julius Randle and, you know, that group of riffraff, Nerlens Noel and Moutier, whoever, you know, young Barrett, overachieving through hard work. It is about the New York our Knicks taking the court tonight, right? Against the defending champion Boston Celtics. And the Knicks, when they walk to midcourt, they've got not only a starting point guard in the All-Star game in Jalen Brunson, They've got a starting center in the All-Star game in Karl Anthony Towns. So right there, it's kind of all you need to know why the Knicks should have a really good chance to win the series. But nobody thinks that they do. And I think sometimes, I was saying this the other day, and I purposely avoided this on Friday. Like, I know that last hour of the show on Friday, we kind of, you know, crept into the Celtics a little bit. I didn't even want to do it, but a couple of callers brought me there. I started the show, I'm like, there's no way I'm getting on the air today and not enjoying, you know, that dagger with 4 seconds to go from Brunson. There's no way that I'm just going to hit fast forward and go into, wow, they can't beat the Celtics. Who the hell wants to hear that? And from my perspective, who the hell wants to do that on the air? I didn't. Like, it was a celebration. I loved Friday's show. And I loved I didn't love the entire game Thursday because, you know, they almost gave it away. But I loved how it ended, okay? But now, guys, we're back to the reality of the mission. And as good of a story as it's been, you know, back-to-back 50-win seasons, all right, top four seed, okay, the energy's back. The respect has been restored at the Garden. Undeniable. But it's still about championships, man. So let's not get this thing twisted. And we're deep enough into the pool. You know, it's not at we're not the kiddie pool. Not at our knees or our thighs or our waist. We're wading into the deeper waters with the big boys, the Sharks of the NBA. Do you think this team's ready to win this series? And because the answer for me is such a quick and resolute no, then that's a bigger picture thing, you know? We got Alex in East Quad, BT and Sal on the Fan. Alex, how you doing today?
I apologize. I owe you that from Friday. You were right about Cedric Maxwell. I was wrong about Kelly Trifuca.
I appreciate you manning up like you should, Alex. I'm not surprised you did it, though. You're a man of integrity. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I go back to the days when the Knicks signed drafted Jim Bednews, Barnes number one, and Willis number two. So you kicked my tush on that, and I bow down to you.
I got you.
I want to agree with you on 2 points. First of all, the window for this team is nil. They have no assets. They have no draft picks. Even if they wanted to trade Mikal Bridges, let's say he flames out in the series, what are they going to get back on? Are they going to take back 10 cents on the dollar? You know, and secondly, you know how I feel about Tibbs, but I always agree with you. He changed the culture of this team. He changed the professionalism. He really whipped this team together as a franchise. But he has reached his typical Tibbs ceiling, and you have to understand that and thank him for all he's done and move on. So I don't think they're going to beat the Celtics. I really don't. I think they were lucky to get past the Pistons in six. But going forward, enjoy whatever we can out of this playoffs because from here on in, it's downhill a little bit for a while.
Well, and you're with me on the window here, Alex, and thanks for the call here. Like, when I think of a team's window, now every sport's different. Obviously, baseball players, they play longer, whatever. Football without a quarterback or, you know, some other things. It's obviously going to truncate somebody's window. It's just going to condense it. But the NBA... You know, if you've got the right pieces, you could obviously go for a while. But if you're kind of in between, it's a rough spot to be in. And that's why I don't think the Knicks window is very long. I just don't. You know, do the Knicks have like a vast array of ascending talent? So are their superstars getting better? I don't think so. I think this year and, you know, next year and maybe one more from Brunson, like that's going to be the peak of his powers. And he's amazing. And he's a New York legend, and we love him, and we revere him, even without a championship. Like, he's doing all he can. I don't think he's getting better. I don't know that he's got another level to get to, so I don't think he's ascending. I think he's right in the middle of his prime, which is a good place to be. If other guys are ascending, I don't think Karl Anthony Towns is ascending. You know that. I don't think Mikal Bridges is ascending. I don't think OG's is, and I like OG. I don't think he's ascending. So I define a window's length by ascending talent or a good core with extra cap space and ample draft equity to do something big. And the Knicks have neither. That's what makes it Don't get me wrong. I'm revved up for tonight, but it's like a dose of reality that I just can't escape. And it's been with me all year. You guys know that. Dave's in Manhattan. What's going on, Dave?
Hey, BT. What's going on?
Hey, man. Happy next Monday, buddy.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. Don't forget. Hopefully you have a nice margarita or something, a little tequila tonight, huh?
It's a Monday. I'm not a big weekday drinker, but Nick's a plan. All right, I'm going to squeeze something in there. I'll bend the rules.
Amateur hour, BT. If you don't drink early in the week, how are you going to get ready for the weekend?
Well, dude, I'm 51. How old do you have kids? I got responsibility.
Anyway, I don't want to get into it about that. If you don't have it in you to do it tonight, you'll only do it with the champ. I don't want to get into the whole drinking thing. I know you got in trouble that one.
Oh,
time.
No, no. Anyway, it's all good. Go ahead, buddy.
You know, with the college of St. John's, remember?
I remember.
That's a good thing that died.
Yes.
But more importantly.
And you probably brought it back to life, but go ahead.
No, I mean, that was ridiculous.
I'm teasing.
You went a little overboard with that. No. Right? But the Knicks, do you agree that they have no chance of winning, you're saying? So then you're going to come down hard on Big Cat, this guy, that guy, the coach. You're going to fire this guy. Just take a step back. The Knicks have no shot, you're saying. I think there's a small chance, but if they don't win, no one's getting fired. The GM has to be looked at. The team doesn't have the talent. So why are you getting all upset about Big Cat, this, that? He's not Olajuwon out there.
Well, then why'd you trade for him?
That's a whole other...
That is the issue, Dave.
The GM. You got to look at the GM, not the players.
Well, I think you have to look at everything, buddy. I really do. Thanks for the call. Look, I think when I lift up the hood of the Knicks car and I just focus on the engine, like the main parts, okay? I see a good coach, not a great coach. I'm well on the record with that. I see a really good executive in Leon Rose. Not good, like really good. You know, I mean, but when you make these power moves like he made, and there's really nothing else to do, I can't say that you're great. I could say that you're really good. And I can look at the two best players on the team, and I could say that I don't think that they're good enough to win a championship together as the main two pieces. So if I'm right on those things, and I believe that I will be, unfortunately, well, then what's the recourse? You're not just going to punt it down the road. We'll try again in 2025, 2026. I don't think that many of you would allow that to happen. I mean, now listen, somebody turns an ankle, Tatum, whatever, something wacky happens. Knicks steal one tonight. The Garden's alive. I didn't say they have zero shot. I don't believe in zero shot. I don't. At anything. At any level. I'm just not wired that. Like 0%? No. It might be very minuscule, based on the Vegas odds that I, detailed before. But it's not zero. So you never know. And I'm going to root like hell from the first bucket that goes in to the first block shot to the first transition bucket to whatever the first thing is that energizes me about these Knicks. I just don't think it's going to last. And if it doesn't last, which is the point, then where are we? Yeah, we're in a good spot compared to where we were. I want to win a championship, dude. I want to win. And I'll tell you that I'm going to get into this coming up next here. There is one term that I have heard thrown around on the radio, on social media, and it is driving me nuts. It's driving me nuts. I'm going to tell you what it is. We'll get back to these nickels. Hey, I'm not here to take away from the energy. I'm just pointing out to me the obvious big picture. 888-808-1019, a little baseball as well, of course. Rough weekend, Yanks and Mets, but a big start on a Nick Monday here on The Fan. Shout out to Sal and his family today and tomorrow. He will be back on Wednesday. I know it's killing him, man. He'll be watching the Knicks tonight, but he talked about this, so I just want to let him know we're thinking about him. I'm thinking about him. Our staff and our station's thinking about him. But obviously, family number one forever. And nothing else matters, and that's what he's doing right now, as many of you know, because he told you that. So, see you soon, buddy. All right, let me get something off my chest that's driving me nuts. Now, I understand what we do every day is fueled by opinion, and like my opinion is not better than your opinion. And sometimes it is, and also sometimes it's a lot worse. Like, if we kept a scoreboard for, wins and losses when it came to opinions or takes. I mean, I think a lot of us would be in trouble here, because you speak for 4 hours a week, you just say a lot of stuff. But one opinion that I do believe is wrong, fundamentally, is when I hear people saying, and this is really from you, I don't know that I've heard hosts saying this, I've heard a lot of this from callers and on Soch. Hey, Knicks are good, it's house money. House money? Are you that soft that you view the next 13, 14, 15 days as house money when everything the Knicks have done is to try to beat the Celtics? How is that house money? It's not. Let me tell you what was house money. Your 2024 New York Mets, who won 89 games, all right, got to the NLCS against the big badass Dodgers with that bloated payroll and a galaxy and bevy of superstars. That's house money. Mets weren't supposed to win. Mets didn't win. But because the Mets weren't even, they could tell me, well, the Knicks aren't supposed to win here. Well, that, I disagree. What they did coming in was supposed to put them in a position to win, where the Mets were against the Celtics, despite what Vegas says. What the Mets did a year ago, you know, it's like it was kind of an experimental laboratory thing. Cohen's first full year, the pitching lab, you know, Vientos not here, then he was, and, you know, all the things that we talked about, you know, a million ways. So it was house money because even Met fans, and I'm sure you were crushed, you know, varying degrees of being crushed, but, you know, when the season ended, you're like, God, we were almost in the World Series. I get it. I'm not saying it's not going to hurt, but you were very quickly able to compartmentalize. At least you should have been. Hey, we almost got to the World Series. We beat the Phillies, all right, in the divisional series to get there, and we exercised some demons during the end of the regular season, you know, Pete's big home run against Devin. I mean, come on. And you can sit back and say, we got an owner who's got more money than anybody. We're going to chase down Soto like madmen. You got him. And we're going to just keep cooking, or at least try to. And outside of this weekend, yeah, I know the Mets have lost two straight series here, but the Mets have looked really, really, really good. All right? That's house money. Like, when you get to somewhere that you're not supposed to be, that's where the term really applies. When every move that you make is done to get you past somebody who's going to be in your way and has been there for a while, and it's not viewed as remotely enough, how is that house money? It's not. 888-808-1019. So please, if you use the term, I mean, you could use it, but it's going to really get me revved up. Marty's in Rockland. What's up, Marty? How you doing today?
Hi, what's up? How are you?
Good.
Good morning, first of all.
Good morning, buddy.
First of all, I agree with you 100% about the Knicks. I don't think they're winning the Celtics in any way. Their chances are very, very low. They should have been a competitive team, but the moves they made weren't the correct moves. Or he doesn't know how to coach his team. I don't know, either one or the other. This team was supposed to be a much better team than last year. And the way it looks now, last year's team was a better team than this year's team. I mean, they had much better chemistry. I mean, in the beginning of the season, we were all blaming it that it's a new season, it's new players getting together, the chemistry, and it's just been going on the whole season the same way, and it's just impossible. I mean, the games against the Pistons, the six games against the Pistons, where every game was a grind, and it was so hard to win the Pistons when we're a much better team than them. How can someone think that they're going to come in and win the Celtics when the Celtics blew us out at every chance they had?
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't. Marty, let me ask you this. I mean, you think they could even compete? I mean, can they win a couple?
So I first of all, in a way, I don't know if they could win a couple. I'm not sure. I don't know if they can compete, but I don't know if I want them to, because then I have a bigger chance of Tibbs not being here next season. I don't know if they win two games. If they win two games, there's a bigger chance. They put up a good fight. They put up some fight.
Yeah.
If they get blown out, there might be a chance of him not being back next season.
Thanks for the call there, Marty. That's a tough way. I'm not even necessarily disagreeing. That's a tough way to watch Eastern Conference semis, you know, where you're stuck in between of desperately wanting to win. But if we don't, let's hope we get our face kicked into the point where it's such a public humiliation that management, ownership is forced to do something that I think many of us think would elevate the Knicks to a higher level. So I'm not saying that you're wrong, but ugh. Talk about like twisting through hoops to try to watch this mentally, the mental gymnastics. Let me go down to Jackson, New Jersey. Brandon is on the fan. What's up, buddy?
What's up, man? How are you?
I'm good. What's going on?
Not much, man. I'm not a Knicks fan, but I'm from New Jersey, obviously, my whole life. I think the Knicks should start Mitchell Robinson, put Josh Hart on the bench. And the second thing is, I think if the Knicks don't win this series, I give them a puncher's chance. I think the Celtics will win in six. Mm-hmm. But I think if they don't win this series, then they're going to blow everything up and get rid of Tom Thibodeau.
I don't know if I agree with that last point there. That's what I was just kind of speaking to. I think the optics of the series matter. And, you know, listen, I'm on the record with Tom Thibodeau. You guys know where I stand. I think that this series is much more of a referendum on Leon Rose than Tom Thibodeau. Because I've already said, I don't think Tom Thibodeau's that next level coach. I just think he's merely really good. And for a long time, really good has been really appealing from a Knicks perspective because it's been so elusive. But we're not at that point anymore. At least we shouldn't be. I'm not. Brad's in Mineola. What's going on, Brad? How are you?
What's up, BT?
Oh, good.
How's everything?
Everything's pretty good, man. All right. Good.
I'm happy to hear that baseball went well this weekend.
Yeah. They lost the championship, but great competition, a lot of fun. Yeah, it was really good. My daughter softball. I've been on the field all weekend. It was awesome.
There you go. Okay, so I have a question. We can have a conversation about this.
Okay.
What is your blueprint to them winning this series?
Stop the three
because
point.
Because you said there's a puncher's chance. What is your blueprint?
Well, the first thing is you have to stop the three-point shooting, number one. Number two, you got to hope that Jrue Holiday's really banged up and that's going to really impact how they play. And then the other thing is, like, we can't be sitting here where KP outplays Karl Anthony Towns, you know, two, three times in the series. Yes. Like, Karl Anthony Towns has to be a beast.
Yeah. You know what's interesting? The comment that Marty just made about Tibbs.
Yeah.
I don't think, and someone made a comment on Evan and Tiki on Friday about this.
Okay.
And the comment was that what was crazy about the play on that last play where the shot happened, when Bridges was supposed to set a pick, but he didn't. That's the kind of thing that Tibbs does. And that's the kind of thing that you got to hope that the games are close, and they're not blowouts like they've been all season, that he's going to have the opportunity to do that. Because what it did, and obviously Thompson is a second-year guy, and all of these Celtics are veterans and know how to do it and are obviously champions. But there are moments in the game where Tibbs can coach his way to a win, and I feel like that's what he did on that last play. So hopefully he will be given that opportunity.
Well, hold on, Brent. I'm okay. I mean, I don't necessarily agree. I think that was just Jalen Brunson being amazing. You know, just mixing somebody up and bang and hit the shot. I mean, what the hell was so amazing about that? I could have called that. Hey, Jalen, go hit a three. Go win it for us.
Oh, agreed. But that fake pick, the setup of the fake pick.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I got you.
Big time.
I understood. Thanks for the call there, Brad. Yeah, like you kind of show pick and then, you know, but I mean, is that really that impressive? That's how basic is that? I don't know. I feel like if it is a tight game, and maybe this is unfair. I'm just going to put it out there. Maybe it is unfair. Maybe because I'm so deeply into my Tom Thibodeau belief. And again, really good, just not great. That's where I separate the two. But so, like, if the Knicks win a close game, am I going to be inclined to just look, hey, you know, Jalen Brunson outplayed them, or will they win because Tom Thibodeau drew some stuff up? I don't really see very much creativity or a lot of creativity out there. I just don't. So, you know, I think it's more of a player thing. I'm not trying to give him no credit because he is the coach and he's won 50 games back-to-back years, but I just don't think that there's another tier coming. Alex in Bernardsville. What's up, Al?
Hey, BT. Thanks for taking the call.
Okay, sir. What's going on, dude?
I'm like you, man. I'm going to be 45 this summer. Big-time Knicks fan. I put it into my son. We've gone to a bunch of games together, and he's all in. What nice. I really want to start seeing are some of these younger guys, newer fans, because the Knicks haven't really done much for 20 years. Stop being so happy to be here.
Oh, man.
They were built for this series.
It's nauseating.
You are all in. You are all in right now. You have no draft capital for the most part.
Yep.
You got Cat. You got Bridges. Act like you belong a little bit. This is not unwinnable. They are going to have to play their game. If you just let me go a little bit longer. The Pistons played their type of series for
mm-hmm.
Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Boston will not play that physical series.
No,
they are going to shoot 53s,
mm-hmm.
right? So we need Bridges to get hot. We need OG to play some defense. We need Cat to have that, I hate to say this, have his Nick moment, right? But mm-hmm. he's got to show us some toughness, some hit that big free throw, some defense, I don't know, some rebounding.
Yep.
We need Mitch on the court because he'll be good for those putbacks, right? That's what he's good for. That's his offensive game, right?
Yeah.
Defensively, Mitch is not going to give us what we want because Boston's going to stay on the perimeter,
mm-hmm.
right? But Mitch will grab those offensive rebounds and can give you 8 to 12 points.
Yeah, but here's the issue. I think you're pretty accurate what you described here from a Nick perspective, but if you're getting some stickbacks from Mitch, all right, and you got him last game, or was that two games ago? Yeah, you got him, but that's okay against the Celtics, against the Pistons, where it's 98-97, 101-99. I mean, the Celtics, you just said it, going to be throwing up 35, 40, 50, not 53s, but you get the point. And the Knicks defensively from behind the perimeter are awful. And if you're exchanging, you know, all right, Mitch's putbacks here and there, I think a bigger piece is more like Deuce. I think Deuce has to, I know he's got to wake up and he's got to start playing some ball. Like Deuce, I don't think this thing's going seven. I don't even really necessarily think it's going six, but four and two go six, and at least the Knicks scratch out a couple wins. I think you probably have, let me think about this clearly for a second. I'll just throw a number out there. To get deep, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 13. I mean, I think you probably need like 13 or 14 threes from Deuce. You know, otherwise, where are those other threes coming from? All right, Brunson's going to hit some. You know, Cat's going to give you one or two a night, whatever, but they'll try to take that away. It's going to have to be from, I don't want to say an unlikely source, because I really like McBride, but he has had a bad year. He had a rough year. I know he's hurt early on, his rhythm was off, whatever, but he's got to start playing a lot better, much. And Campaign, too. He's going to have to hit some triples. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Interesting weekend for the Yankees, who, you know, now lost two straight series. Yeah, the thing that's going to really save them is that the American League East is just awful. I mean, it is terrible. So you got the Rays, the Jays, and the Orioles all under 500. And if you think that's like an outlier, kind of like how the Braves got off to a rough start, but, you know, they're going to creep their way back in it, most of us think. Like, the Orioles just aren't. Like, their pitching is awful. They're 13-20. So, you know, and then the Red Sox had an injury over the weekend. You know, unfortunately for them, their first baseman went down. I mean, it looks like a one-team race, but I still don't think that the Yankees necessarily, you know, rip off 97, 98 wins and win this thing going away. I mean, really, with the exception of think about Max Fried. So he won on Friday night. Max Fried is 6-0. With a 1.01 ERA. Imagine if the Yankees didn't get him. Oh, my God. All right, so you want to see him bounce back. You got three with the Padres here. And then it's six out west, and it's the A's in that Sacramento, you know, AAA or 4A stadium. And then it's the Seattle Mariners, who obviously are pretty good. So, but quickly on George Lombard. Ironically, we were just talking about him on Friday. I brought his name up. And, you know, I told you how well he was playing at high A, and I thought that he was going to get the call fairly soon for Double A. Now, I was thinking like early June, maybe. He got the call early this morning. So he is already off to Double A. And, you know, listen, you don't want to get too married to these numbers here at the low levels. But, you know, in case you don't know, high A, 329 average, OPS of 980, 11 steals, 24 games. Obviously looks the part. He is physically there, 6'2", a buck 90, very fast. He is an elite defender. He's got these long levers. Like I was talking to somebody last week. They think that he's got the in the game, that he's got the kind of body where, you know, because he's 19 years old. When he gets to like 23, 24, would it surprise him if he's 6'2", you know, 215, 210, while retaining his speed and his agility? And they didn't think that that's, like, they think that that's what's going to happen. So they got somebody special on their hands. And again, I'm not going to go nuts with this. He's going to start double A. Who knows? Maybe he scuffles. I don't think he will. But, like, if he does flourish, and right away it's evident, all right, you know, we're going to have to move this kid along again. And I do think absolutely he sees AAA this year. But, this is what I was talking about on Friday. I think there's a chance that he's with the Yankees this year. I really do. Number one, he looks different. Number two, I mean, they're broken in a lot of spaces around the infield. I mean, they got very lucky. I was listening to the Volpe injury in the car coming back from a baseball game over the weekend. And I'm like, that just sounds ominous. That does not sound good. The way it was described, and I thought Dave and Susan did a good job. Like, they didn't overhype it, and they certainly didn't undersell it. But, like, as this is why I love radio. I'm trying to conjure up this image in my mind. And, it was a good 7-8 minutes where I'm like, did he just destroy his rotator? I know it was the left shoulder, not the right. But so I think he's going to be okay fairly soon. But even if he is, he's not exactly setting the world on fire with a stick. And, you know, second and third base, even when Jazz was healthy, he looked awful. He's out for a while. So there's a lane, as Booney would say. There's an avenue for Lombard if he rakes and he keeps doing it. We might see him up this year. All right, 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan. Brandon Tierney, Sal Licata Show. Back to these Nick calls. House money, my behind. You are built to try to win this team. You can't get knocked around. Like, you can't get embarrassed. Dave's in Maplewood. What's up, Davey?
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good.
What you think the Knicks would rather have Randall back instead of Towns? And I agree, McBride's got to go. McBride stinks.
Well, I don't think he stinks. I just don't think he's played well. I think there's a difference. I think certain guys stink, and they're not capable of playing better. I don't think he stinks. I just think he's out of whack. Do I think that they wish they still had Randall? I mean, I can't answer it. You know, based on what they gave up, because you also had to give up DiVincenzo, I mean, maybe there's a little second guessing, maybe. I think that that's kind of it's not a home run, put it that way. It's not like they made the trade, oh, there's no doubt this has worked out. I mean, he is unbelievable. He's good, but is he perfect fit for this team? I don't know, maybe there's a little regret. Let me get Sonny in Montclair. Sonny, what's cooking?
Yeah, I'm trying to give some us Knicks fans some hope, BT. I looked at the whole season, and arguably their best win of the year against a good opponent was when they blew out the Nuggets very early in the year, 145-118.
I remember it. Yep. They beat Denver twice this year. Yep, keep going. Yep.
Right. But so they got seven guys played had double figures, right? Mm. Nobody played more than 38 minutes. Now, Jalen scored 23 and had 17 assists.
Mm-hmm.
Town went for 30, 15 rebounds. OG went for 40 points. They had 38 minutes was the most anybody played. The bench scored 24 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Campaign 11.
Yeah. Yep.
Deuce had 13.
Okay.
So my point is, until we actually see, and you'll be able to tell us this tomorrow, what this group, when they're playing their high-octane offense, if they're spreading the floor and Jalen is getting people involved, getting touches, you know, Bridges at 14, McBride at 13, Payne at 11.
Yep.
That's the way this team was supposed to be coached and play, I think, against this Boston team.
I don't know. Sonny, hold on a second. I don't know if I agree with that because Jalen Brunson's not – he wasn't brought here to be a facilitator. He's brought here to get the ball in the hole, which he does better than anybody that we've had in a long time, and he does better than anybody in the NBA in terms of clutch value, the award that he just won the other night, you know, clutch performance. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not saying that you can't maybe fool Boston. I mean, fool. You're really fooling anybody at this point with the amount of film out there? Probably not. But maybe you kind of deviate early from what you've done. And then you force them to react to that. And once they do, maybe you go back to heavy Brunson. I mean, there's ways to navigate this here, but it's going to be tough. Scotty's in Marlboro. What's up, Scott?
What's up? How you doing, BT?
Good.
Tell Sal I'm thinking about him. I don't like the saying playing with house money. I think that's a dumb saying. It's you won the last series. You deserve to win the last series. Now go win this series.
Yep.
Yes. Is it going to be hard? Of course it is. It's Boston. It's going to depend on the bench. It's all about the bench. Your starting five matches up very well with their starting five.
Mm.
And the Randle thing, Randle's not here. The regular season is over.
Mm-hmm.
This is a different thing. You're playing the playoffs. Go out there, play hard, play the D you need to play, and don't turn the ball over.
Yeah.
Easier said than done.
They make some bad passes. They really make some bad decisions with the ball, don't they?
They do. They get out of control at times. And I know Hart is the heart and soul of the team. He gets out of control a little bit sometimes.
Yeah, he does. I don't like him starting.
Listen.
Scotty.
I
don't like him starting.
Neither do I.
I don't think they're going to mix that up now. I'm up against it here, Scott. Thanks for the call. I don't think they'll mix it up. I think he'll still start. But, all right, does he have to play 40 minutes? That guy's a warrior. Like, I don't really think the Knicks have enough dogs. I just don't. He's a dog. I'm not worried about him. You know, just rip off the leash and let him eat, let him bark, let him bite, let him do everything. I wish he had a few more dogs with him on the playground. You know, a couple little pups looking for that nice, you know, bone from mama where, you know, the little white rug. You know, come here, Fifi. You know, no, give me a Rottweiler, man. But I don't think they have enough of those guys. I think Boston does. And I think it's a short series. And if it is, which is what we started the show with here, what does that say about the job that Leon Rose has done to construct this? It's been about a championship. Like, it's morphed from cute story to, wow, the Knicks are good. This is what it used to feel like to, all right, what's next? And that's not an unfair recalibration. It's not. Their ability to do their job well enough put them in this position. And we appreciate that. But now it's a different, we don't grade on the curve anymore, put it that way.